It's this laid back because now I'm going to talk about his awful music that he's going to play.
This is in the way
of my sultry voice.
I heard you playing this on the way over here out of the truck. I heard it playing. Is this not it?
Yeah, I was trying to throw it out the window. Is it done? Can I start? Can I talk to Shane now? Or
it's percolating.
I mean, goodness. Shane, I told you got yourself into something. This is the show right here, buddy. This is we try to hide everything. So
that's great.
And Ty, you might be off camera, but I'll get you in there at some point in time, pal. So.
There you go,
Shane. Thank you for coming by.
Thank you
for talking with us for a little bit. And I didn't ask you off camera, so I'll ask you on camera.
Yeah.
Do we need to keep this to down to 2 hours, or you want to go 4 or 5?
I hear you. I know at 12:30 I have a call with an attorney, so I need to wrap it up around 12:30.
All right, well, good. Yeah. Oh yeah, we've got. I might have to cut back some of my long speeches, but we'll get you out of here by then.
Sounds good.
No, thank you for coming by. I know this is one of your busier times of the year, trying to get everybody in classrooms and everything go okay to start the year.
It did. We're really blessed. You know, one of the things that we started during COVID was half the students would come the first day, the other half come the second day, and on the third day they all come. And so we continue doing that, and it just allows us to have such a smooth opening. And
is it split by male, female, or
no? Last name. We do half the alphabet the first day and the second half. That way, siblings would all come at the same time and so forth and have the last name.
We just got done talking to Kyle Koloff, the superintendent for city schools,
yeah.
And I said, as soon as that came out of my mouth, that's the stupidest thing you've ever said. But that's what they do at the primary school for the little ones, which makes sense.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
over the older kids, that really doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So excuse my ignorant question
You know, we did that with our kindergarten classes for a long time so they could learn the routines and stuff. But during COVID, we split. We were only going a couple of days a week and you know, just doing being creative, trying to get as much face-to-face in time instruction as possible. And so we continue doing this, and man, it just allows all grades to learn the routines, and because it's new for so many kids, and at the same time, it gives those teachers opportunity to really make those connections with a smaller group of kids before they're all in there at one time, and so it's worked well.
What's the average classroom size?
Depending on the grade, of course. When you get in middle school and up, you're talking about mid to low 20s. Something like that.
Okay.
And our elementaries, we try to keep those anywhere. They're probably range anywhere from 14, 15 to 17, 18.
Okay.
Has that stayed the same pretty much? Or have you seen it? Is there a trend there?
It'll fluctuate some from 1 year to the next. I know you mentioned your children go to Vimont.
Right. Yes.
So last year, Vimont's kindergarten class was really small. So they probably had 14 kids in a classroom. We just added a teacher. Open house day, we added a teacher at Vimont because their kindergarten classrooms were up to 22 apiece.
Wow.
And I was holding off. I said, let's just wait and see if some kids don't show up. And so that day they registered two more kids, and I was like, okay, we'll add a teacher. And then that'll drop it down to about 16, 17 apiece.
Okay.
And,
How do you add a teacher on open house day?
That's tough.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, so you got to plan ahead. So, like, we've been watching that trend, and I talked to the principal the week before, and I said, you know, find some. We have some generic postings in case we have to hire somebody last minute, and from there, she can go ahead and talk to people and say, hey, if this opens up, are you interested? And so I have somebody in mind. So that if it does, they're ready to go.
And then that person, whoever you hire, has got, I mean, they've got to hit the ground.
Oh, they
not even running. It's just a
you're thrown into it.
And I hate it. They probably spent most of the nights, you know, getting ready for that, you know, leading up to the first day of school. But the school environment's neat because I'm sure everybody pitched in and helped them. And it's not the perfect environment, but, you know, we were talking before the camera started rolling about things, that are unfunded from the state. So, when I add a teacher like that, that's got to come out of local funds. I don't get reimbursed for that until next year.
Really?
So everything's in arrears. And so any teacher that we have to add like that comes straight out of local tax money. And we don't have a whole lot.
See, I thought immediately that the state would start reimbursing.
Not at all.
Don't get me started on some of that. I'll put you in a bind with my
I may get in trouble. But that is the case. So, you know, and as a district as large of ours, you know, it's real easy to say, okay, this school needs another teacher, that school needs, but before you know it, then you have 40 or 50 teachers that you're paying out of local funds, which adds up to millions of dollars. And
I have to take a step back to think about how much that you have to deal with, because you've got how many schools are in your control?
Yeah, 28.
28 schools.
We have 28.
I mean, that is just how many teachers is that? You know, and I'm asking you specific numbers.
Well, employees, when you start thinking about full and part time employees, we're up to 1,500 ish.
Goodness.
And we're the largest employer in Coleman County.
That was going to be my next question.
And it's interesting because, you know, sometimes depending on who runs those numbers, they'll say, well, you're the second largest or whatever, if they look at just our full-time. But, you know, when you start thinking about our payroll for substitutes and people like that and part-time teachers and things, you know, we have, you know, 300-400 people like that work part-time for us. And, but, you know, it's a blessing that I have good leaders and I stay out of their way and I try to support them and I give them perimeters to work in and I tell them to go run their show and they do a good job. And if I didn't have good leadership, there's no way that this big ship would achieve all it does.
You can't be in that many different locations. No. And you don't know the pulse of those. I mean, that's right. There's too many.
That's right.
If you had 10, maybe. Yeah. But yeah. 28 different.
And it's interesting, you know, living in Coleman County all your life, you don't realize that we're really a really big school system, a really big county. And until you go to these superintendent meetings and you hear the average school system's like 2,400 kids or something, and we're at 10,000.
10,000 kids.
And and really even the city, as great as they are, I think they're probably 3,300 kids or something like that. So, you know, you're talking three times that.
You've got to be one of the larger, do you not?
Yeah, we usually bounce around between the top 12. It may go from the 13th largest to the 11th largest. And so we're around in that area. And some of your larger cities are like Baldwin County and Mobile and, you know, Huntsville City. And some of those like that are bigger than us.
That's not – and if – the questions that I'm curious about would bore the viewer to death, but that's just funding wise.
Yeah.
It all comes into one big pot and then you've got to be able to figure out how to fund all these different locations.
Unfortunately, a lot of our funding from the state is earmarked. So of course, with that many employees, a huge part of our budget goes straight to payroll, benefits and things like that. And our local taxes, you know, we tried to get a local sales tax a few years ago, and it narrowly didn't pass.
Yeah.
And I was an early superintendent then. I probably didn't educate the people enough. I probably didn't know enough, just to be honest with you, about where all the funding comes from to understand that, you know, from our property tax, we have the state minimum from here. So, and we have to... When they start creating, I don't want to bore everybody to death either, but when they create our budget, they subtract 10 mils from that because you're supposed to invest that locally. Well, that's all we get. And
so that is 10 mils is the
bare minimum.
Okay.
The state requires that, and that's all we have in Coleman. And so we have to match that in our budget locally. Mm. So to be able to match that, we're having to pull from the sales tax to match that amount of money because we're not pulling in enough.
So you're not able to go above that because you're just getting to that bare minimum.
So to go above that, the people would have to vote on it. And as you know, in Coleman County, nobody's ever going to pass a property tax, I don't feel like.
And I'm one of those, I don't... If you say, are you for any kind of increase in taxes? Of course I'm going to say no.
No, nobody is.
But you said it best. If it's educated... And unfortunately, nowadays, I feel like it has to be earmarked for a specific reason.
That's right. Because
if not, then you get into, and again, yeah. I'll go down a real long road, wasteful spending, this, sure. that, and other. You just need to let them know what it's going towards.
Yeah.
And I truly believe the citizens want to support, because let's face it, the schools are the cornerstone of our communities.
That's right.
And that's, we'll spend money for that.
Yeah.
As long as we know where it's going.
And that's the good thing about any sales tax that we have locally, that money stays in Coleman County. And you can run a report and see where every dime of that money goes to and stuff, you know. And people, you know, we don't trust government. We, you know, and I, for good reasons. And, you know, when our federal government, you know, lists on their hammer for $20 million or something like that, and it's really going to some foreign country, you know, that's not good
stuff.
So
that's not happening here, in other words. We're not buying the golden toilets and that kind of thing.
No, we have maximized our dollars here in Coleman County, and I think our citizens of Coleman County can visit any of our campuses and see the work that we've been doing. Mm-hmm. Our school systems, you know, were the physical campuses were in pretty bad shape, you know, 7-8 years ago. And now we're getting them where, you know, they're vastly improved and they're in good shape. And you know, and while we're doing that, our kids are achieving more too. And so I'm excited about that.
I've got to say, you've done a wonderful job of being able to improve every campus that you have. And still utilize every campus because the first thing, if you hired an outside consultant, they'd come in and say, hey, you need to consolidate.
That's right. That's right. My predecessor, you know, that was one of his plans. He was going to consolidate down. And a lot of people are okay with that. But like I started getting out in the community, speaking at different events, I remember this Lions Club event that I went to and I spoke, and there was a gentleman said, hey, we feel like you should consolidate the school so we'll be able to maintain fewer campuses. And I said, okay, I understand that. And I said, sir, I said, what community do you live in? And he said, I live in Holly Pond. And I said, okay. So this was on like a Thursday afternoon. I said, just hypothetically, I said, starting Monday, all of our Holly Pond kids are going to go to Fairview. And he, you know, he dropped a few expletives and he said, oh no, not my school.
Wait.
And I said, well, that is the issue with Coleman County. I said, we have such great heritage at every one of our schools. Nobody wants to give up their school. And it really is the center of that community.
Thank you.
So if we can come together.
Then what's their plan? What do they think? Does consolidation just mean everybody else? Or
well,
what?
Yeah. So the people at one school, they want to close these other schools down
but not
and come
theirs.
To them. They just don't want their school consolidated.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I understand that. You know, we all have great memories about our parents and our grandparents going to these schools and things. But the thing that we often forget is throughout the history of Coleman County, there are many, many schools that have come and gone.
Yeah.
And if you look back through the books, I mean, there's K-8 schools and elementary schools that a lot of people don't remember. And the schools, even my father went to in elementary school, there was like a Gold Ridge school and Eva school and many different schools that are no longer there. They, you know, got them in these other feeder patterns. But we're not wanting to you know, do away with any community or anything. And if you take one of our high schools and you close it, you're going to be killing that small town.
Yeah.
And we don't want to do that.
No. And I appreciate the fact that you realize that, because the easiest thing to do would be look at it from a numbers perspective and say, because there's nobody's going to argue the numbers.
Yeah.
You could consolidate two or three of these small schools, put them in one huge system.
Yeah.
You'd have more funding than you knew what to do with for that particular location. But those three communities that you pulled those schools from, they're going to dry up quickly.
They would dry up.
I mean, that's the lifeline for the community in my mind.
And I will tell you, the challenge for running a public school system is not to look at it just as a business.
Mm-hmm.
And now, like you said, the numbers. If we run the numbers and I brought a great businessman in to look at those numbers with me, he'd say, you're right, let's close this school, let's close that school, we can put them together. But we're dealing with lives, you're dealing with families. And sometimes having a huge school of thousands of kids is not what's best for kids. And some of our smaller schools are our highest achieving schools.
Yeah.
And that's not always the answer either. Some people say, well, we want to keep really small schools, And because they achieve more in a smaller school. Well, we try to balance out how many kids are in a classroom, regardless of what size the overall school is. And but it is best for some kids. And so we, you know, it's a give and take. And what we've done through the years and what we're going to continue to do is to look at every campus and see, okay, can we adjust the grades that are on that campus? Maybe there's some K-8 schools that need to be K-5 schools. And do we take those grades and move them over to this other campus and kind of do that? Or maybe, you know, not long ago we consolidated Holly Pond. They were an elementary school and a middle school, and we put them together in a K-8 school.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people don't understand that, but we were able to share units, and that's how you earn teachers across 9 grade levels instead of just a few grade levels. And their numbers are starting to grow, and if they continue to grow, we might eventually separate them back out. And but little things like that can help a lot.
Is it? I look at it from an athletic standpoint. It'd be a huge advantage if you had these big monster schools, but there's also a disadvantage of what about some of those kids that can make these their local community teams? You
That's
put
right.
them in a big school. It sounds great and wonderful.
Only 5 kids can get on that basketball court at one time.
Exactly.
That's it.
And now, you know, and sometimes this doesn't go over well, and I hope people know my heart when I say this. We haven't turned out a whole lot of multi-million-dollar athletes over the last 50 years. The vast majority of our kids are not going to play professional sports for the rest of their lives. And we have had some kids that have gone for a few years or whatever, but most of them are going to have a job after that,
yep,
or a career after that. So if I'm thinking, if I put all of these high schools together and I limit so many kids don't even make the team then, but what lessons are they learning by being on a team that they could really go and be successful in a career one day? And the way we are right now with 7 high schools, there's a lot of people. And when you start thinking of cheerleading and band and Scholars Bowl and math team, a lot of kids are getting to participate. And really, they're being successful on different levels, you know. And so, anyway, we've worked really hard to try to make it the best that it can be without consolidating any of those schools.
It's, again, you go back to the numbers standpoint, and it makes perfect sense, but nobody realizes what you're losing.
That's right.
And that's a perfect example of what you said before whenever you ask the guy, okay, so where do you live? So
yeah,
let's close that. No.
Yeah.
It's always a great, wonderful idea until it hits you right square between the eyes.
I can't think of anybody that's come to me and say, I want to consolidate and I want to close my school first. Nobody
that doesn't
that.
Happen.
Even people that are upset about something at that school, they don't want it closed.
No.
They just want that
want
one little issue. It's not just, hey, we're going to close it all down.
And, that's it. Absolutely. And the thing about it, you know, we don't have any schools. I mean, you hear in the news about reading levels and math achievement and things like that. We don't have any failing schools in Cullman County. Our schools are achieving really good. And so as long as they're doing that, you know, I don't see us closing any of them down.
This past year, you had to go through something a little bit different. Is the now, instead of an appointed position, it's now an elected position for the superintendent for the county. And by the way, thank you for running.
Well, I appreciate
that. I think you do a wonderful job. Thank you for, because that's people, if you've never been around or in a political campaign, it is a lot of work.
It's brutal. It's brutal. And I swore up and down I wasn't going to do it if we switched back to that. But I started having people from the community come to me, and really I felt like I had a lot of stuff in the middle of a lot of things that wasn't finished, and I feel like I needed a few more years to be able to do it. And so my wife and I prayed about it, and you know, she was like, if you leave it to me, I'm gonna say no. She said, but if you pray about it and you feel like the Lord's telling you to do it, she said, I'm gonna support you. And you know, it's, I don't like politics. I like people. And I like getting to know people and doing things, but not for political reasons, I guess you might say. And I appreciate people that do that. We need We need a good president. We need a good mayor. We need a good commissioner. And so I appreciate the people that do that. And I even told the people at the Republican Party that I ran on, I said, I appreciate them fighting that good fight because we want to keep our conservative values and things. But I'm not the person to storm the Capitol or any of that kind of stuff, you know.
Politics a lot of times gets in the way of good people.
Yeah.
So that's just...
It does. And there'll be a lot of people that would make really good superintendents that will not run now. And I hate that.
On the flip side of that, there'll be a lot of people that probably shouldn't run that will run. And that's the scary part.
And that's the thing. And it happens it always happens in school systems. And there's not very many school systems, even in America, that are elected anymore because of these reasons. Less than 2% across the entire United States are elected.
Really?
Yes. I mean, there's only two states that still elect any superintendents. Alabama's one of them. And only, I think it's about 25% of ours are elected. All the others have already changed. And us in Florida, I think, are the only ones that still elect.
Now, Shane, you're Dr. Barnett.
I am.
Is there any qualification? I mean, is there, in other words...
Yeah. So you have to have an active teaching certificate, and you have got to have been actively working in a school system for so many years out of the past 5 years.
Okay.
And you've got to have an administrative degree.
So at least there's some teaching.
There's a little bit.
It's a little, but yeah.
And,
so there's more qualifications. We just talked to Sheriff Gentry. To be the sheriff, you don't have to have any of the qualifications
that
you just stated.
Which is crazy.
So at least I'm glad that there are at least those kind of qualifications you have to have.
And I had a few people telling me, you know, they're like, I think I'd make a good superintendent. And it's kind of business people or whatever. And I said, you may. And I said, but you know, educating our kids is a big part of what I do.
Yes.
And I said, you really need to be that education minded person and the business side. And, so, you know, there's a lot to it. And,
I don't think people realize what you do on a daily basis.
No, I don't think I did before I became superintendent. I'll just be honest with you. I mean, I was a principal for 8 years, and I'd been an assistant principal and been a teacher, but I never fully understood the whole scope that a superintendent does. It's incredible, really. And now I've hired well, and I've got great people that work with me that handle their stuff, but to get to the level that we need to get at, I felt like I needed to be involved in all of those areas.
Mm-hmm.
And really not just, you know, give it to somebody and not. So I feel like, you know, one of the major roles that a superintendent has is to cast that vision of where we want to be and then hold my leaders accountable for going in that right direction. And that's a full-time job. It's interesting enough, especially the size school system we have, it's probably a 24/7 job. And, you know,
I don't think probably, I mean, you're being very modest.
It, you know, it's the phone usually dies before, I mean, I never turn my phone off, but it'll usually die before I can get it plugged up again, mm-hmm. just cause it's always going. And I'm not saying that, you know, I accept this job and I love my job and I'm really proud of what Coleman County's accomplishing right now. And you know, and it's, but it is, it's a challenge. And I've always felt when you go back and look at the appointed versus elected, I've said since the very beginning that if it's appointed and somebody doesn't do, or they don't have the value, we hire somebody and they don't have the values that we think are important for Coleman County. And I say we, because I'm going to still be living here. And hopefully my grandchildren, my children have gone through our school systems and hopefully my grandchildren will. And so if we hire somebody and they're not doing or not valuing what we value, then we come to our board members and we get them to fire them.
Yeah.
And we hire somebody else. But now when we're elected, that guy's in there or that person's in there for 4 years, regardless of the job they do.
A lot of times it might be indicative of the job that person's doing. In your case, I firmly believe that that's not it. It's... People wanted, in their mind, they thought, oh, well, if it's a democratic process, then we get to choose that person. That's and right. That sounds great on the front end, but what you just said is, one, you've got that person for 4 years, no yeah. matter what, unless they do and, something terrible and they have to resign.
And,
you've got
and you them. Think of the damage that could happen in 4 years.
And they're not at that point in time, and I understand that you still have to follow the policies set forth by the governing board.
Yeah.
But they're only answerable once every 4 years in my mind at that that's point right. in time. That's where when you're appointed, I mean, you're daily.
That's right.
You have to answer to that board.
And it's interesting, you know, when this first came up and Mr. Harbison proposed about, you know, giving it back to the people to vote whether we go back to elected or stay appointed, you know, our society right then, there was a lot of riots going on, if y'all remember that time. And so everybody's afraid about losing their rights.
Yeah.
And I totally get that. I, you know, but I also believe that there's certain positions that we need to vote on, and then other ones we need to vote on a committee to decide, and then hold that committee, like our school board, accountable for making the best decision they can. I mean, you think of so many jobs out. I mean, bank president or something. I mean, we're not going to elect those because we want somebody well versed in that field and. So a lot of areas like that, but here we are. I mean, we're electing them, and I feel like, you know, we've got some good candidates, you know, that'll carry us into the future. But the biggest thing with that, you know, you see this in many districts across Alabama, and it's happened here many times that somebody'll get mad about something and they'll run for superintendent.
Yeah,
you know, and I would love for somebody to run because they just want what's best for kids, And that's the only reason I'm here. And if that was not the reason, I would go home today.
Well, how many candidates do you have run against you?
Well, this year I just had one.
That's if there was an issue, you're going to have a lot more than that. That's just your. Well, and I didn't realize that you had one run against you.
Yeah, I did have one that ran against me. And
now that you have to think about that side of things, has anything changed? You like. Drive a little bit less aggressively.
No, no. My wife probably wished I would drive a little less aggressively. But, you know, and I told the people that asked me to run, and several reached out to me to run. And I said, well, here's the deal. I said, if I get elected, I'm still going to be Shane, that I'm going to put the what's best for kids first. And I said, I'm not going to. And, you know, and many people told me, he said, you're never going to make a lifetime politician. And I said, thank you for that compliment. because I'm not. I'm an educator. And I love kids. And I'm going to do what's best for kids. I'm going to take care of our employees. And I'm going to continue. Because I am from Coleman County and I'm going to continue to live in Coleman County, it's so important for our school system. It's so important for our banks, so important for every industry that we have, for our school system to work.
Yes.
It's got to be good.
Yes.
If we want to, and I tell people, you know, this older guy, he said, well, I don't have any kids in our school system. I don't have da, da, da. And I said, you're getting close to retirement. I said, do you think you'll ever need a nurse? Well, yeah, I will. I said, where do you think those nurses are going to come from? And I said, we want to educate our kids to go into those jobs and have better infrastructure and everything. So our school system's got to work. And I'm passionate about that. But I'm not going to do anything different. And if anybody tells you, well, Shane's different since he's elected versus when he was appointed, I'd challenge that because I don't feel like I am. I probably shared a little bit. Everybody knows that faith is extremely important to me. And I said, so I will probably be sharing and I'll probably move my faith to the forefront a little bit more because you know what? My board can't come in and fire me tomorrow. Not that they would. They're godly men and stuff too. But there's things like that. As you said a while ago, a lot of times people preach accountability for getting something back elected. Yeah. Well, yeah, you're accountable every 4 years. And
so in a way, you have a little more freedom.
And I have a little more freedom. But I also have a little more security. And because honestly, my predecessor was here for a year and a half, and the board decided that he wasn't leading in the right direction or the direction they wanted to go, and they fired him. Well, if for some reason they come in tomorrow and said, well, he's not leading in the right direction that we want to go, I said, well, wait 4 years now and vote me out.
Is there any kind of emergency protocol that the board can enact for an elected position?
The only thing, I mean, there are certain things. If you know, if I were arrested for certain things or embezzled money or something like that. But outside of that, I don't want to say too much, but there's a few places that the board and the superintendent have got crossed.
Yeah.
So, and they wanted to get him out. And, I mean, he just stops coming to work. He comes to work to do board meetings and to sign off on stuff and goes back home.
And there's nothing they can do
about
it.
Still gets paid.
According to the law, yeah, still draws his full check.
Well, we got a president that's doing that too. No, I should not have said that. Well, don't answer that.
You're probably right. According to the law,
well, Facebook just shut us down, Jacob.
I love it. Yeah. According to the law, you got to do the business of the school board, yeah. And that's basically to hold a board meeting and sign checks and things like that. And
so, other than that, they really see, and that's the kind of stuff that I don't think people were educated about.
No, they're not.
And you said it best during that time. The climate was protect our rights.
That's it.
All we have left is our vote.
Yeah.
And it was, there was a lot of fear during that time.
Absolutely. And I felt that way too. I mean, I was fed up with government and everything too during that. And so I don't resent people for that feeling. It was just through COVID and just after COVID, everybody just feel like, you know, things are getting way out of hand and they're losing all control. And I get it.
And that's, talking about COVID, the fact that you had to navigate through that with as many moving parts as you did, bless your heart. That's all I can say. I mean, that's...
Well, God blessed us. He really did. And you know, shortly after that, you know, I got phone calls from the state level because our school system had more face-to-face instruction than most districts in Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And we got, you know, and if you were to ask parents, they'd say, you had a crazy schedule, Shane. But, you know, we were rotating who was coming in, and we were, you know, bring half these 2 days and half the other 2 days, and we were doing different things, and we brought them back a little earlier. But clearly in my heart, I knew it was best to get the kids back as soon as we could.
Yeah.
There were certain things, and, you know, there was a lot of people that had protests, mask wearing and things like that, and they even made that political. And, you know, the left wanted masks and the rights didn't, And, you know, and I would try to say, look, we just want our kids to be safe.
Yeah.
And we got to have some kind of reasoning behind what we do. And it was, a lot of the recommendations and the guidance that we'd get from the state level was reach out to your local attorney and make the best decision you can, you know. And it was like, okay, thanks.
And then we're going to criticize you whichever way you
either way.
Right.
I mean,
that's right.
And, when you at the state level, I know is the – forgive me if I put you on the spot, but they're the watchdog for the school systems. When does the federal government get involved in anything?
Well, they control a lot of funding. Because our free and reduced rate in Coleman, Alabama, we have a lot, our poverty rate is very high. So we get federal funding. So their biggest thing, they can send out some regulations, and the most they can do to us is pull funding back from us. If you don't abide by these things, we'll pull that funding out.
Is that direct funding to you from the federal, or does that go through the state?
Both ways. Most of it comes through the state, but this particular type of federal funding is what we consider federal funding, is pipelined straight to us from applications with the federal government.
So it would, I mean, if they decided to cut off funding, that's
it cost us millions of
money
dollars.
Right there. Okay.
Yeah. But I will say this, there are certain grants or certain programs that you can opt into that I remember back, and not trying to get too political, but when Obama was in office, that he did a program, and if you opted into that, you had to take along certain regulations or certain rights. You had to give these rights away, and we decided not to participate in that. And so right now, you know, we've got a lot of Title IX stuff that y'all have probably seen in the news that, and not to get into this, but transgenders and a lot of other stuff that is coming down from the federal government that really this election is pivotal on.
Yeah.
And if it goes the wrong way, they very well, because I don't see us agreeing to some of the things that they're trying to push down from the federal government, that agenda. And if my board were to cave to keep that money or whatever, I may be coming to Premier Bank and asking for a job.
Come on.
Because there's certain things that I'm just not going to agree with.
Yeah.
And while we're going to love our students and we're going to take care of all of our students, you know, we're not going to let them dress like animals and do some of this crazy stuff that I hear about in other places.
And thank you. I want to go there, but I'm not going to at this point because I hope that that's so far removed from our current situation.
Jacob, did you not wear your tail today?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
You can see me on my soapbox again. And then that's where I was leading this. Is there a feasible way to not take that federal money if it came down to the fact that they're mandating some of these crazy ideas?
If we didn't accept the federal funding, we would have to cut back on teachers. Our classes would be larger, probably. There's things that we would have to do to cut back funding. I mean, to save funding and stuff. And we'd probably have to come back for local support, more local support. But I feel like the people of Coleman would support that, knowing that we didn't allow these other things to come in our community.
I firmly believe. Now, as you've well seen, a lot of times the loudest are in the minority.
That's right.
So you're probably going to get some pushback, but I think the vast majority of people in Coleman would support not going that way.
I think so, too. I see pictures of there was this one school out in the Midwest that they were putting these feeding bowls out in their hall. They called them Furbies or whatever. And these kids dressed up as animals were eating out of these things in the hall. And my phone started blowing up and saying, is that in Coleman County? And I'm like, we ain't going there.
I mean, that's social media. You don't know what to believe, what not to believe.
Yeah.
But going as far as putting a litter box in things,
that's
again,
that's not really
I'm
going to
stop
right?
because I'll start going.
That's
just,
not real, is it? Is that?
They're putting bowls in the hallway for meat out of. So
I think it is. Some schools are doing it.
Really,
not to be political, but you know, with there's some people in the world that will just simply say anything goes.
Yeah. Right.
And that does not make
it's all
for
relative.
It is. It doesn't make for a good society. We all need barriers, and regardless of what we're doing.
But it goes back to like your question to that gentleman is, all right, let's shut down your school. No.
Yeah.
Everything goes until it affects that individual.
That's right.
And then it's, wait a minute.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. I'm about to say something real political, and I don't. But it's whether you're for or against, I don't care, and that means nothing. But it's just like the border, whether you're for open borders or for closed borders.
That's right.
If you're for open, it's okay. Then if an immigrant comes across, you let them stay with you. I don't want them to stay with me. Well, then where are they going to go?
That's right.
As long as they don't go here.
Well, a great example of that is just this past summer when we had some immigrants that committed major crimes. Well, if you let everybody come across, that's inevitable.
You get everybody from all facets.
And when it affected those families, I imagine all those families were, okay, let's do it the right way. And it does. When it becomes personal to you, it changes your views, regardless of what it is. And unfortunately, everybody doesn't always have the information that I have. And there's no way that I could – I mean, I'd have to be on this camera in this front of this microphone 24/7 to share everything. So sometimes they're going to have to trust my heart that I'm doing what's best for kids and making those decisions. And
don't get on social media and start posting comments if you don't know the whole story. That's just – that's one thing that drives me crazy.
Ty Waltwood, it's in the room with us. He handles our social media for me and things. And, I want to go on there and explain things. And that's just like when I was campaigning, I did have a Facebook page that I haven't put on there very much at all since the campaign. And I need to get back on there. But I created a Facebook to do for my campaign. And I'd have people that maybe I disciplined their child 15, 20 years ago. And they'd come on there and say something negative about me. And I so bad would want to go on there and say, well, let me tell you the rest of the story. But I didn't, you know, I just swallowed hard and went on. And there's always the rest of the story
and
with everything.
There's plenty of times that somebody will post something about the bank. And my first is, my personality is, let's let's go confront and see if we can come to some kind of resolution. But it's just not, for one, it's not worth it.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to win that
battle.
It's
a lose-lose situation.
And what you see on social media, somebody's going to make a comment, and then the other people that are commenting and doing things are not even from our community. They're from another state or something, or even another country, and they're commenting on it. And I wish I could say, stay out of our business and let us handle it here.
If there's something that you have that pertains to this, I'd be more than happy to listen to you. But
that's
if you're
right.
just commenting just to comment, which is baffling to me, and I've said this a few times, I'll never understand why people have that freedom to post negative comments or to inject themselves in things they have no business, because everybody sees that.
Yeah, that's right.
When me and you have a disagreement and we have that conversation, it's just me and you.
That's right.
I would much rather come up to you and say, hey, I disagreed with this, than put it on Facebook where everybody says, that's something that just baffles me.
I know it's now an addiction that people will post things on there and they find, not ownership, but they get a thrill out of people commenting to what they've posted, even if it's wrong, and people commenting and liking it and doing these things, and they feel special from that. And I don't mean to bust anybody's bubble or whatever that's doing that, but they really need to go find another avenue to be successful in. And because anytime somebody does something that's misinformation, I try to reach out to them and say, look, come in and meet with me face to face and I'll share more information. But I'm not going to go back and forth on Facebook or on Instagram or something like that. And
thank you for that. It
never ends well.
No, it doesn't matter. Even if you use logic, most of the time you're dealing with the illogical person that they don't want any kind of resolution. They don't want to have a conversation. They just want to post that negative comment.
It.
And like you said, get attention for that.
That's it.
And multiply that exponentially for every classroom.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Then you've got every kid with two parents that might be writing, who knows, you know, it makes it hard for the teachers.
Social media part. It's tough. It really is. And
well, I've taken you down avenues that I didn't mean to, and please forgive me whenever, because if you start getting in politics, you're going to make somebody mad.
So you're good.
When somebody posts something to you and say, how dare you say that? Sorry, it's on me.
No, it's all good.
I know you got to get out of here quickly, but Michael's favorite thing in life is to be able to ask you some oddball questions.
Sure, yeah.
That's just nice to put it.
Shane, where are you in terms of the moon landing?
In the moon landing?
Is this? Do we feel confident that this happened, or is there any conspiracy theories in there?
I recently watched the movie, is it To the Moon and Back?
I haven't seen that one.
There's a movie. It's in the theater now.
I hadn't seen it, yeah.
And it's about the moon landing.
Okay. We need to see this.
And there's a conspiracy. I guess it addresses a conspiracy about it being fake.
Yes.
So according to the movie, they're like in this other little building, they create a fake landing just in case we didn't land on the moon. Which was interesting because
so there could be some truth to the fact that there was a fake set.
And basically what they did, and I don't want to give the movie away, but they didn't have to use the fake set is what it said.
Wow, I didn't. Okay, like that's pretty cool.
And so who knows if it's real? And, you know, of course,
that opens
disclaimer.
Up more questions.
That's right.
It does.
That's
it really
right.
does. I am a science nerd.
Yeah.
And everybody in our school, they call me a data nerd because one of the things that I like to do in our school system is, if we're going to make a decision, let's base it on data. Let's base it on numbers.
Right.
Numbers don't lie, typically, if you do it the right way. And so I'm a science guy. I always wanted to be an astronaut.
Really?
Me and my wife may be walking in the backyard one evening, and I'm just staring at the moon, and I'm taking pictures of it, and I'm talking about how great it is and how I would love to go there one day. And there's a few people that love to send me there, I'm sure. But,
so you're a big fan of the Space and Rocket Center,
I'm
guessing.
Yeah, I love the Space and Rocket Center.
Yeah, we do too.
But yeah, I think the moon landing happened. And I think it's as a leader, I think it's absolutely incredible when we had a president that said, we're going to go to the moon within the next 10 years. And we did it.
And did it.
And we need bold leadership like that now.
Yeah.
Because if we hadn't have done it, and I know he didn't get to see it, but he was really making himself vulnerable by doing that. And I think we stepped up and did it. You know?
Yeah.
He sent that shot across the bow and says, no, we're going to do it.
He sure did.
Figure out
a way. And that's pretty bold.
You said you wanted you'd want to be an astronaut. Have you ever seen the movie The Martian?
I have. That's a little scary.
Does that not make you kind of go,
could you do maybe that? Not. Yeah, that's.
You ever seen that?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a phenomenal movie.
That is a great movie. Yeah.
That's.
Yeah. I couldn't do it.
Yeah, I'm not real sure. I'd want to stay there as long as they did and do all that he had to do. But I've always thought that would be so fascinating to do.
That's cool. Yeah.
What about now? I'm a movie guy, so sorry. Now you've piqued my interest. But Interstellar, have you seen it?
I have.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Now that's on a whole different spectrum. Yeah. That's weird.
And you got to watch that one 3 or 4 times.
Every time
I watch it, I didn't even catch that in the movie.
And it'll change your position. You're like, yeah. All right, was he here? Or was he there?
Yeah. That's a mind-boggling movie.
Yeah.
I love one-liners out of movies. I'm a big movie buff. I could go home and watch 3 or 4 movies up till 2 o'clock in the morning while I'm doing paperwork and stuff. And I do a lot of my emails in the middle of the night and things like that, you know, when I have a quiet time. And so I'm watching, there's some movie on all the time. And I'll get one-liners out of there and share it. And it's usually the one-liners that mean nothing to anybody else.
But it did
mean something to me. And I'll tell you, not that you care, but out of the movie The Patriot, there is a point in that movie where at the very beginning.
Mel Gibson. Okay, yeah, okay.
So
Patriot. Yeah.
He puts guns in his son's hands, and they're about to, you know, stop the redcoats from coming through and rescue his other son. And he tells them, remember what I always say, aim small, miss small. So I use that all the time because I really believe that whether you're in business or in school system or whatever you're in, if you plan to the smallest detail and you mess up, you just miss it by a little bit. Hmm. And so I try to live by that and do that all the time. And but little things like that, and I like little clips. What other questions do you have for me?
I love it. Do we have time?
Nope.
I think we're out. We're close.
I think that's perfect. We'll get you back on. The aim small, miss small. Okay. I like that.
Look,
whole...
we just scratched the surface. We'll have to get you back
on. Yeah,
I'd love to be back on.
And that's next time we'll go from 3 or 4 Great. Hours talking about movies.
Yeah. Sounds wonderful.
Shane, thank you. And again, I mean it. Thank you for putting yourself through the political process. I know you didn't have to, but you're doing a wonderful job. And thank you for staying in there.
I appreciate that. And I'll tell you, I'll pass that along to my wife. She is the most introvert. She's also an educator for us. But she really doesn't like that side of things. So she's kind of behind the scenes all the time. But I tell her, you know, we're doing good things. And our school system is accomplishing some great things. I'm really proud of all of our teachers and everybody that's involved.
Well, continue the good work. And please pass along our thanks to her for going down this journey with you.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
So, all right. We'll cue your weird music and we'll get out of here.
Little did you know it was already playing. So
that's why I don't wear the headphones.